Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time. It's Christmas.
Yes, it is.
And we're not really here with you.
Right.
We're catfishing you.
Right. Exactly. I want to say we're out celebrating, but we're stressing out somewhere.
Yeah. Probably like stress watching Christmas movies
right now. So. Yes, exactly.
We're not here, but we are so glad that you are.
Yes.
And as our gift to you this year, we are giving ourselves a break.
Yes.
And re-releasing some of our favorite episodes that you may have missed.
Yes. So this episode is maybe not super current, but a topic we still feel strongly about, and we hope you like it, and happy holidays.
Yeah, we'll see you in the new year. Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the weekly podcast covering, I would say, medium weight issues. We're not. We like substance, but we don't marinate in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We touch on it and get out of there.
That's what she said. We are not experts here to talk about whatever you're facing each week, or what we're facing more like it. We're a little
Hopefully
self-centered
we're all
around
in the
here.
Same boat.
Okay, sure.
Similar boats.
I like your approach better.
We're in the same ocean.
Okay. My name is Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're so glad you joined us today.
Yeah. We were just talking about the Emmys.
Yeah. Here I am, like, billing myself as a celebrity follower, and guess what?
I know.
I whiffed on it hard.
I was prepared for you to come over here with all the content.
Nope.
Apparently there were a couple of weird tone the people took, but I don't know.
I
will never know now, I guess.
I guess we won't. So, tones, fill us in. last night, so I'm, like, doing these cooking jobs of various kinds. And so I spent literally all day cooking, and then this morning is David's birthday, so happy birthday, David. Not by Wednesday, you'll be over it, but you know, happy birthday as of right now. But around 9, I started baking his birthday cake, and if you follow me on Instagram personally, you'll see just how terribly that turned out.
Oh no!
But I just got a little bit distracted. And so my mom texted me and she's like, I'm watching the Emmys. And I was like, dang it.
What Emmys?
Yeah. Who?
Because wasn't there, last week was like the creative arts Emmys or something like that.
Yeah, they always do the creative arts and like the technical ones.
Yeah. So I was real confused on the timing.
Well, they do it. I mean, it's like this other back end. Like you have a separate event and it's like on a weekday morning.
Right,
like,
right.
It's where nobody knows about it.
Right.
But they do have a nice A-lister usually present those awards.
So. Oh, yeah. I only read one piece so far that was about, apparently there was an awkward moment where everyone laughed when Kim Kardashian and Kendall Jenner were handing out an award for like reality competition or something.
Yeah.
And everyone said, and she, I guess one of them says like, it's hard to live your honest, real lives being followed around by the camera or something. And I guess people laughed. And for a second, like, it wasn't clear if they were laughing, like, with them or at them.
Oh, and probably still isn't clear if she was joking or...
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I gotta follow more on that, but I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, unsurprisingly, I can tell the future and did predict a win for Patricia Arquette of The Act.
Yeah.
It is the story, if you are new around here, the miniseries. About Gypsy Rose Blanchard and her mom, Dee Dee. Patricia Arquette was phenomenal in it.
I've got that on my list to watch.
Oh,
it looks good.
Good. It is good. It's intense. But she won supporting actress in a limited series. Mm-hmm. I thought that her co-star, Joey King, had a real shot at Best Actress, but she did not win.
Who won Best Actress?
Oh, Michelle Williams for Fosse.
What's Fosse?
It was a miniseries. I think it was on HBO. All about Bob Fosse, the celebrated choreographer.
Oh, was that the one of Fosse Verdon? Fosse Verdon?
Yes, Fosse Verdon.
Michelle Williams? Oh, Michelle Williams. That Michelle Williams.
Yep. Happy Monday. Here we are.
When you said Michelle Williams...
Were you thinking Destiny's Child?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was.
Yes, Hollywood, please be more clear.
Yeah.
Because I think they spell their names the same.
Yeah.
Like a one L Michelle. Nope. Double L Michelle.
Yeah. Anyway, well, that's hilarious.
But in her speech, she talked very heavily about equal pay for women, particularly women of color, which I was really pleased to see. And she, in particular, was kind of in the forefront of the original gender pay conversations a few years ago, maybe, when we really got serious about it. Because she had
decided we actually weren't kidding.
When we realized women weren't being paid the same. Let's take this seriously for once.
She demanded higher pay after finding out, and I think it was Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, she was co-starring in a film with him or other generic male actor. And
pretty sure it was him, and I think she had like either an equal or more important role or something like that.
And she got paid for those reshoots about $5,000, and he got paid like $100,000. I mean, it was like this
It was nuts.
Really insane amount. I can't remember how she found out about it, but because you know that's been going on for a long time. But anyway, it was like a laughable amount. So she spoke up about it, and he ultimately, I believe, donated those funds to her foundation working towards equal pay.
All the money in the world.
Okay, well.
That's it. Got it. Thank you, IMDb.
Yeah, but guess how much he was actually paid for those reshoots? Here I am laughing at $100,000 being a lot. $1.5 million for reshoots.
Oh, geez. And what was she paid?
She was paid $80 per day, totaling less than $1,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So now, now
That's a caricature of a situation.
I am re-angry.
Yeah. Well, and I think in that situation, too, Mark Wahlberg was a really good ally.
He was. If and I remember correctly. He has daughters, and he, you know, was pretty big about that.
Right. Which is good, but one of my pet peeves is when, like, men are like, I have daughters, I have a mother, so therefore I believe that women have rights.
That's a good point.
Which is like a...
That's a good point.
Anytime someone has, like, come forward with, like, an accusation of sexual harassment or something, like,
I have daughters.
The other person's like, as a father of daughters, like, or also as, like, just a human being, like,
that's a really
sexual
good point.
Harassment is... Bottom line.
I know women.
I know a woman in my life. Therefore.
Some of us have mothers.
Yeah. Some of us were birthed by women. Some. Yeah. Therefore, this matters to some of us. Anyway.
That's a really good point I had never even considered. So.
Or not a myth. That's a sidebar. We should probably move on from that. Game of Thrones won, which
much to your delight
me.
Tell us more about how you felt about the last season.
Buckle up. Yeah. It's hard because the actors did a really good job. So like, I'm glad that they were honored, you know, like it's not them that I personally have an issue with. It is the showrunners. So I just don't like when they're recognized for literally anything.
Well,
I'm annoyed that they're taking over Star Wars.
I was about to say, be prepared because they're about to be front and center. But the Amazon Prime show Fleabag kind of surprised everybody by winning Best Comedy. And it has been on my list to watch for like
Watch that, too. Yeah.
But I've heard it's great. I was going to ask you if you'd watched it.
So. No, but I want it's one that's like always highly recommended.
Yeah, same. It's been on our list. We just started watching Scrubs, so we're very on it.
We just started watching Blindspot.
Oh, tell me.
All seasons
like
except the current and final fifth season are on. It's currently airing. We started watching Blindspot back when it first aired, so I guess 4 years ago, which is nuts. And then fell off the track because, as millennials, we have found it hard to keep up with TV as it airs.
We need instant gratification.
We need all of them.
Binging only.
Yeah, and we were into it, but our only complaint is with the male lead in the show because, and of course, we're still, now as we're rewatching, we're still in the first season. He's very, like, macho and typical.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he seems like a male character written in, like, the 90s or early 2000s. And I'm just like, this is tired.
Yeah.
But it's funny. We have, and of course, like, we like to watch shows and, like, nitpick at them, so we're, like, horrible to watch with, like, a group.
Yeah.
But I'm all for a show that showcases strong women, and I do think it almost seems like they put, like, a lot more effort into their female characters.
That's good.
Like, giving them more of a breadth of story.
It is funny how quickly things have aged in that vein.
Right, yeah, because
like,
it's only been 4 years, but I'm just like... Mm.
Yeah, because, you know, watching Scrubs, the hot new comedy on Fox, it is funny. I never watched it, and...
I've never watched it live. I did rewatch it all on Netflix within
the last
couple years.
Yes,
yeah.
It's funny, but, like, Aziz Ansari's in his latest Netflix special, like, talks about that, like, you need to have a lot more sensitivity to topics like as an actor when you're writing or whatever.
Right.
But there are also things that are culturally acceptable right now that won't be in a few years. So he was like, you know, I was rewatching some old episodes of Parks and was like, I can't believe we did that. But at the time, it was just like...
Well, that's the thing, is there's like some stuff because Friends turns 25 this month.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Friends.
Happy birthday, Friends. You have done a lot for me personally.
You've done a lot of good in the world.
I've seen some stuff about like reasons why Friends hasn't aged well or like jokes like that wouldn't stand up.
And Friends has aged beautifully, thank
well,
you.
Well, there are certain aspects. Like, for instance, their jokes about being gay
wouldn't be appropriate
now. The way that Joey is such a womanizer, like, wouldn't be... But I also think it's hard for me to call that not aging well.
Right.
I mean, speaking as a non-member of the LGBTQ community, I mean, as a woman, and women are frequently, like, objectified by Joey. I don't know.
I think that they're... I don't know. Maybe I'm just never objectified by men, so I don't feel...
Objectify me more, so I can get in on this.
Right. Make me feel more attractive so I can see if I feel triggered. But, like, I don't feel like Friends makes me feel any kind of way about how they treat women, like, because it's more a picture of Joey than it is of women, so that to me doesn't bother me. But then if you watch like Everybody Loves Raymond or one of those sitcoms, I think the way that Patricia Heaton and the mom is portrayed in that show is much more damaging to someone's view of a mom or a woman.
Yeah.
Or even Leah Remini in...
The one with the delivery guy.
Yeah, King of Queens. You know, those... It's always like the strident, nagging, strong woman.
Female character. Yeah.
And with a bumbling dad.
Yes, agreed.
And he's like affable and loving.
Yeah.
But you know, so to me, that is much more damaging to if you're going to choose.
I agree. I thought that I could certainly look back and see, like, there are a lot of jokes. There's a joke, there's like, it's played for laughs in season 9 when Ross and Rachel interview and hire a male nanny, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's another point in early on when Ross's son, Ben, as an infant, is playing with Barbies.
Yeah.
So, like, those things, because Ross is very uncomfortable with his son playing with Barbies, and then Ross is very uncomfortable with a male nanny, and at some point he's like, are you gay?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And so, like, yes, those things are inappropriate, but I also think they're more indicative of Ross as a character.
Yeah.
And even still, like, it was still a... what's the word I'm looking for? For its time, like, it still featured, like, in season 1, which was early to mid-90s, it still featured, like, a lesbian wedding.
Yes.
And, anyway, it's just, that was season 2, but it's an interesting thought about things aging, because now these are the oldies. Like, now that show's been on Nick at Nite for, like, 10 years, which is nuts.
Kill me. But that, I do feel like you need to be able to view, like, entertainment through a certain
lens.
Yeah, like, something that's legitimately offensive, like, I don't know. It's hard because everyone's, like, view of what they find offensive is different.
Yeah.
But
yeah, some people might find that, like, some people, that might be like a hard no for some people.
For sure. But I think generally speaking, like, I don't find that show as a whole damaging. Same with, like, an episode or two of Parks and Rec. I think that everyone can move forward and say, like, oh, these are not things that we would continue.
Right.
Like, in particular, on Parks and Rec, Tom gives Karen, Aziz Ansari gives Karen, Rashida Jones's character, like, for her birthday.
It's not a Karen in that show.
You moron.
Are you even a fan of Parks and Rec, or are you playing us?
Yeah, I googled it. Tom gives
Filippelli.
That's right. Oh, yeah, you're right.
From The Office.
Yes, which is why I thought of Karen. Her name on Parks is something else.
Anne
Perkins.
Yes.
So Tom gives Anne a teddy bear for her birthday,
It's
like actually a nanny cam, so he can watch her her. And he's like, yeah, I mean, probably not like the
right.
But also, you know, I don't know. I think in some cases you do. You do the best you can, and when you rewatch things, you also view it from a different lens. I think, I don't know that it's super productive to take everything that's already been produced and then, like, lambast it now.
Yeah, I agree. And even Pasan and I Love Psych. It's hilarious. Oh, yeah. And they were like ahead of, I think they were also like pretty proactive with being just socially more conscious.
Yeah.
But the, one of the main actors is a police officer who is very like always, the joke is that he's very trigger happy.
Oh.
And so he's always talking about like, like a very much like shoot first, ask questions later mentality. And his character is played for laughs and, they joke about like, it's just like, it's jokes about it.
Yeah.
And this, let's see, psych is
not, seems like a very funny subject.
Right. Exactly. yeah. You can relate. but Psych went off air, I think after 8 seasons and it ended like a year or two ago. So, something like 10 years ago when season one first came out, it was like a little, I don't know, a different like social and political tone in the country.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I'm like, I doubt they would make these same jokes today. Like it always kind of makes me feel when those jokes are made, I am more like, but it's not like in the show, it's just his character.
Well, and you're not going to be like, and now I'm never going to watch Psych again.
Right.
Because
but
of what
and it is interesting because I made this argument with my dad back when, you know, my dad is always trying to put on these old shows and movies for us. And I will admit that when I was at his house celebrating his birthday this past weekend.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. He and my mom. Yeah. Close to David's birthday. Yeah. I didn't even click.
Little soulmates.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. They're best friends. My dad just kind of settled in the way that I just steamrolled my mom and Passan that one time into watching The Meg.
Yeah.
Which we talked about with our good friend Chris.
Yep.
He just like put on The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh,
and
okay.
For the long, I kept, I'm like, Dad, please change this.
Really don't
want to watch
then
that. At like within like 10 minutes, I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm in this now. Turn the volume up and put on subtitles.
And everyone stop talking.
Yeah, everyone be quiet. I have to figure out what's going on with this creature. And so he's always trying to slip those movies on. And at one point, several months ago, he said, he put something on and he's like, man, this is just a classic. It's in another black and white or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, the thing is, like, it's hard for me to watch, to, like, watch this because I can't look at this without, this is like an old show or old movie. I can't look at this without thinking about, like, the conditions of the time and day around it. Like, you know, the fact that, like, the women were paid so little, the fact that there's probably no black people in the show employee, like, what else was going on in the country during the time that this was produced, and, like, who was being paid garbage, like, at all, you know, just all these things.
Yep.
And my dad was, like, so annoyed with me, and my brother was like, well, you're a fun one to have at movie nights.
That's funny.
But looking back at that same conversation with the shows that I like from when I was little, it just takes on a different light. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
No,
my dad was super annoyed with me for, and I'm like, well, be socially conscious. And now I'm like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do think that you, for me, I have to have a place that, like, okay, that probably was, and all I can do is try to
move
be
forward and look at it from a different lens.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, the same argument could be made about, like, some of my childhood classics. I mean, they were from before I was born, but, like, The Wizard of Oz.
Right, because wasn't she paid less than the dog?
Probably. I don't know. See, I haven't even looked at it.
I think that's the thing I've read. That might be a sensational title that I Carolined and just moved right past.
Works for me. I believe it. The Sound of Music. I mean, I'm sure there's little to no diversity.
Don't speak a negative word about The Sound of Music. Don't you do that.
I won't.
Nothing negative happened on The Sound of Music.
Everyone was paid the same.
A gift to the world.
But, you know, like, things like that, like, yeah, I'm sure there was a lot going on.
Right.
But I can also just celebrate that those were huge platforms for actresses. Mm-hmm. Like, Julie Andrews is a goddess and probably lives on Mount Olympus now. I don't know. She can't sing, but her voice is kept in heaven.
Yes.
In a jar.
Yes.
It's
like in The Little Mermaid.
For sure. Yeah. So, Ursula, you give that back.
Yeah.
And Judy Garland.
The true villain in all of this.
Things we don't talk about enough.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You know, Judy Garland obviously had her struggles, but she's iconic. She's iconic in Singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. It's iconic. So it's kind of like, but, you know, here we are. Right. And many actresses were able to be inspired or get their starts by those things.
Right.
So.
Exactly. As a side note, I can't watch The Wizard of Oz. It's super creepy.
Oh, yeah. The flying monkeys are really, really scary.
Yeah. Anyway, one other thing I think is super interesting, which relates to none of this at all.
Great.
A nonprofit is working, has been working, I think, since this past December at giving, they're doing a small study giving 25 African-American single mothers $1,000 a month who are in poverty.
What? Just giving it? Like
just giving it.
As a stipend.
As opposed to all of the programs that, you know, you can sign up for if you're in poverty. This is something that you especially know a lot about, and I've done a little bit of research and writing on over the last year.
if you'd like to talk about it, DM us, because we have lots.
Yeah, we have a lot to say on this topic.
I'll send you the links to Hannah's articles that she wrote for me.
So they're, you know, a lot of stipends. If you are low income, if you're in poverty, if there's a line that you fall under financially, like income wise, then you can apply for certain things.
Uh-huh.
Just as kind of a general FYI, since not a lot of maybe not everyone is aware of all these different things. There's different programs you can apply for, but in order to get money out of that, there's a lot of like criteria you have to meet and things you have to do, things you have to, you know, work a certain amount of hours, be clean off of drugs, something like that. Which the validity of that is a whole separate discussion.
Yeah.
But the tough thing, which you and I have talked about a lot of times, is that like there could be a situation where someone gets, say, a raise at work, an opportunity to get a raise at work. And you brought this to my attention. You were working with that person? Is that a clip?
I knew of that person in our community.
Through one of your former clients, you came across a woman who was offered a raise, mm-hmm. but couldn't accept the raise to get more money, because by accepting the raise, it would bump her up a little bit in like overall income. And because overall income is like everything is included in a lot of these programs, that would actually afford her less aid. Yeah, so
she
wouldn't
would lose so many subsidies moving from like, it was like maybe 28,000 to 37,000. It was something in that.
Right. It's not like 28,000 to like 60,000.
Right. It was not a life changing amount. Well, it was a life changing amount negatively.
Right. Which is ironic.
That, right.
If she had accepted a raise and moved herself forward in life. And so at that point, she would have lost so much subsidies-wise, she wouldn't have been able to like take care of her children. All that to say, it is a very interesting and nuanced conversation around poverty and homelessness and what we can do to help people rise up out of that. So this nonprofit is trying to just give $1,000.
Interesting.
No strings attached. You don't have to be clean or anything like that.
Oh, interesting.
So I will link to the article because it's interesting to read about and figure out, you know, you just kind of like to dive in, and they've got some good links, and as well as they touch on a few of the things that some of the Democratic candidates for president have suggested we could do to like help out people. Cause one of the women who's profiled in the piece is a woman who has like a 4-year degree.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that comes with, she's saddled with debt, and
totally.
She got pregnant young and was trying to do everything on her own and working several jobs. And then of course you have to have the childcare. And so So at first they gave out this $1,000, and they had, I assume monthly meetings. And at first it was right around December, and everyone was talking about gifts and their new hairstyles and stuff like that. And they were all like, you know what? The money's gone. We've blown it.
Uh-huh.
Like after the first week or whatever. So the person who's liaising with this has realized like, oh, these people need financial advice.
Yes.
So then she hooked him up with a financial advisor because she was like, they don't actually like really have bank accounts, I guess.
No. Well, most banks, not to interrupt your story, but
please do.
Most banks have this checking account minimum.
Oh, right.
And so most people in these situations, I mean, multiple things happen. They don't have an address for a check to be mailed to or any statement to be mailed to. If they do, they typically don't have the minimum required to open a bank account or keep it open or afford the fees that are attached with most banks. Mm-hmm. So many banks now are like one we partnered with would come in and do financial classes and waive the fee, or it was like anything that you can put into it. So people were opening them with like 82 cents, but it was the first time that they'd ever opened any
nice
kind
to
of
see
account.
Banks,
and there's some kind of like pride and identity with having a bank account and feeling
debit card.
Yeah. And feeling validated as a person.
Yeah, for sure. So this person, enacted some of those programs. This organization enacted some of those programs. And it sounds like after 6 or 7 months or so, they're starting to see the main woman profiled in the piece is moving into her house. She's partnered with Habitat for Humanity to get a house for her and her two children. So it kind of shows how the whole like educating people and giving them a hand up really. And you know, it's not all a great story. Like it's an interesting piece, and I encourage you to read it just to get kind of an inside look on the realities for people who are under the poverty line.
Yeah. And if you are interested in supporting organizations of that way, I would, as you vet them, I would just encourage you to spend time serving with them. More so than looking at any kind of like case study success rate. I know the organization that I worked with is doing incredible work and making incredible advances mm-hmm. in the community. But if you look at their quote unquote success rate, you would be really discouraged and feel like it's not a successful
group.
But, you know, these vulnerable populations, there are just so many factors to it. And
right. It is not black and white.
It is not black and white. And the other issues that are at play, addiction, mental health issues, mm-hmm. those kinds
generational
of
generational poverty.
Yeah. I mean, if you start to break any of those apart, much less all of them together, you will be discouraged. But spend time with the people that they serve and spend time with the organization.
Yeah. So that was just a sidebar, and I thought it was interesting. And this nonprofit is working specifically with single moms. And they also talk a little bit in the piece about trying to get more women in the workforce and how that can tend to, it's just not as easy as it sounds because, you know, putting women in the workforce, as many people listening to this, I know, have had to weigh the cost of childcare and working.
Yep.
And so if you're under the poverty line and you could maybe accept some subsidies, mm-hmm. it's not really worth it to work and lose those subsidies.
Right.
For like nothing. Like, for instance, this is in Mississippi where this is taking place.
Oh, okay.
The minimum wage in Mississippi is $7.25 an hour.
Of course it is.
So, you know, and I wrote a piece on this mindset of just getting a job. Like, why can't these people just get a job? Just get a job at McDonald's.
Yeah.
And really what it would look like if you made minimum wage and you had a full-time job.
Yeah.
And just researching for that piece was eye-opening. So it just, trying to educate ourselves on populations that are different than us is only a good thing.
Well, and in that vein, again, side note, but I loved that piece that you wrote. And I used to be of the mindset that minimum wage should not be livable wage. But in spending time with these other populations and communities that I was not as familiar with, you know, I met particularly one woman who had worked at Bojangles. If you're not in Charlotte, Bojangles is a
you're missing out
legend here. Amy is flying in this week. And one of her requests was to go to Bojangles from Denver. But anyway, she had worked at Bojangles for 10 to 12 years and not seen one raise. But
wow.
I mean, including cost of living, she had worked at the exact same rate for 10 to 12 years.
Yeah.
But worked there full time as a career. But because she was, I think, as a woman of color living in the kind of margins of society, mm-hmm. it was easy for management to pass her by.
Right.
So we featured her in an op-ed that I wrote to a large publication here that was run. And she ended up getting a different job as a result of that.
Oh, that's awesome.
And was paid more, but also people need people speaking on their behalf and advocating for them, you know?
Yes. Yeah. That's a very good point.
And a little bit related, our listener, Audrey, who you have heard us talk about before, she's
a great example of getting involved and doing the work.
Yes, she brought to our attention the need for diaper banks.
And months ago. Yeah.
I mean, maybe in one of our first months. I mean, she
it was early. It was like the spring. And she also gave us steps to follow, which was great. Like, she said, here's what we can do. So we took that to all of you guys. And you guys, I know, chimed in with specifically here in North Carolina. Senator Tom Tillis was I think deciding whether to sponsor or co-sponsor.
Correct. And he did decide to sponsor.
This bill. Yeah.
You guys called and made donations, but Audrey let us know this weekend that the diaper bank resolution was, agreed to in the Senate. So thank you for you all to, help support that. And Audrey, for the incredible work that you do,
mm-hmm.
It was officially passed through, by Mitch McConnell. And, Audrey said it was just a really surreal experience and we feel that.
Yeah. Cause her name's on it. Right.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So,
So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to get back. This week's topic is actually going to touch on a lot of what we've already talked about, which is how to raise inclusive kids. Okay, so we've talked about before, your kids love movies.
Are the best. Oh,
right,
yes.
Sure. aren't picky about what they watch.
Not at all. They're laid back.
You also are not picky about what your kids watch.
Yes. I don't know where they get it from.
So I did want to let you know that we watched one of your favorites.
Okay.
Last week.
Yes. Tell
Peter
me.
Peter Pan.
Ugh.
Norbeth had been begging for it because I guess someone at the
Norbeth, classic tool of the patriarchy.
She's slowing down the work of women everywhere. Somebody at preschool, no, at the Y, had been singing, "We can fly, we can fly, we can fly." Oh, you know,
yeah,
that song?
Yes, I do.
So she had been introduced to the idea of Peter Pan,
yeah,
loved it,
yeah,
was asking to watch it. And I said, you know what? There's nothing wrong about Peter Pan.
Right.
We watched it. Yeah, there's kind of a little bit that I had to, like,
yeah,
address with her.
Yeah.
I was like, as we're watching this, when they are going to fight the engines.
Yeah.
I was like,
quote unquote.
Yeah, right.
Not our.
I yeah, do not.
Not our editorializing.
I was like,
the red man.
Yeah, why is the red man red?
Yeah. So
it was
so
a little
offensive.
Bit. It was a little bit difficult where I was like, but interestingly, David, who is, I would say, from another generation. I mean, he's not. He's 12 years older than
he's
I am.
An oldie.
Yeah, but he was even after he was like, you know, I've heard you and Hannah talk about Peter Pan. Like, why is it problematic? Which was just interesting. One, thank you for asking, David, but even he was watching it through the lens of his childhood, the way we were just talking about
right.
these movies, and he's like, I think it's fine. You know, like,
right,
it's
like
all
in
entertainment
that same
and
vein of, like, what's appropriate to watch and what's not appropriate to watch. It's all opinion-based,
yeah,
but Peter Pan is one that I will not put on for them.
I was not bothered at all by the way women were portrayed in it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel one way or the other about that,
mm-hmm,
and I felt like I'm raising strong girls. That doesn't matter to me.
Right, well, TBD, because Norbeth is the one who wanted to watch this.
She also has been talking very much about JoJo Siwa, so I'm really losing control of things. But
yeah.
I did like have to like speak over the movie to, because she was like, who are those people? Why are they red?
Yeah,
why are
literally caricatures
like,
of people?
Yes. Like,
yeah.
Why do they look like
they
that?
They look like the Cleveland Browns logo.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Truly.
They look like the Cleveland Indians logo.
Yes, truly. But I was like speaking over the movie because I'm not going to turn this off.
Right, that's
and make
that's
it
the
seem
thing.
Wrong.
Yeah.
So I will just talk while it's on of those are the Native Americans, you know, whatever. I did a lot of education about Native
right.
Americans and their culture. But it was interesting, and I wanted to bring up this idea, and we talk about it a lot,
right,
of how we can intentionally raise kids who are inclusive and don't feel other than
yes.
kids around them.
Don't feel other and then don't treat kids as other.
Yeah.
I love this topic because you and I really kind of bat back and forth on this a lot.
Yeah.
Like basically like how we think we're doing.
Yeah, this is real life conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because for instance, I was asking, Norbeth was asking why people look different.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. I can't even remember exactly how it came up. I said, well, you know, God created everyone to look a little bit different. You know, I have green eyes, you have blue eyes. And she was like, some of my friends look different. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay. Which friend looks different than you? And she said, Milan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've seen pictures, Milan does look different than Norbeth.
Mm-hmm. You won't see pictures.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Hannah's private. I will draw you a picture of Milan. You can see. But, you know, Milan and Maya look a lot like Basan, who's from Sri Lanka. So they mm-hmm. have darker skin, darker
although
hair.
Milan is shockingly fair skinned. I was very surprised when he was born.
Oh, yeah. So I thought that she was going to talk about his skin,
mm-hmm.
but she said he has a circle haircut that doesn't shake when
hey,
he shakes
PSA,
his
PSA, he doesn't have a bowl cut, Norbeth.
No, Norbeth
my child
kind of does.
Doesn't have a bowl cut.
If you're going to like talk about bowl cut, but she was talking
very about trendy hairstyle. I just want to get that on the.
sorry. Don't want to offend your parenting. Milan's circle haircut. But to that, by that, she was meaning like a typical boy haircut, like
right.
short
yes.
that doesn't hang.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But to her, like that's why they look different.
Mm-hmm.
Is she has a haircut that will shake,
right?
And he doesn't.
She's also a full foot shorter than him, but
like. I mean, there are many differences. Hannah, but let's just choose our first.
The circle hair is the big.
Arguably, I get that. But then she was like, and our other friends have circle haircuts, Henry and Michael.
Yeah.
So she's like naming the boys, but her difference was such like this surface level.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's our haircuts.
Yeah.
Where I expected many other things before.
Right.
A haircut.
Right. Exactly. And you've talked too about her identifying other friends who are different races But yes. She doesn't identify anything based on skin color.
No, it's
which
amazing.
It's obviously not her saying, oh, this person looks different than me.
Yeah.
It's her looking, you know, I think for kids, like it's natural, especially when you try and subject them to different races and different ethnicities.
Yeah.
For them, it's almost like not different. It's just normal.
Yeah.
So like for her, she's not like, oh, my friend looks different than me. She's like, oh, this person is different. There's a girl in her class who has a different race than her.
Yes.
And she said to you, like, oh, she's tall.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like that kind of, or it's like, oh, she's different things.
Well,
like
said,
it's a little more skin deep, or I guess tall isn't, but
it's just, it's interesting.
She's so tiny, everyone's tall.
But it does feel like, it's like, okay, so noticing people's races as different or something to be noted seems to not be intuitive. It feels like
yes.
It has to be learned, because this friend, I said, you know, describe this friend to me. Because I don't know the girls in her class yet.
Right.
You know, school just started. Well, one, she is like 4 feet taller than Norbeth. So that is all I needed to know. But
right.
She was like, she has black hair and brown eyes,
mm-hmm.
which she does.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not how many of us would describe her first.
Right.
And it was like so interesting. A teacher
right.
at the gym, same way, different race, but she describes her as brown hair, brown eyes.
Right. Yeah. So, which is interesting because there, you know, we don't want to. I feel like back when I was like growing up, the progressives, and
yeah.
I put air quotes, not progressive, but the line was like, I'm colorblind. I don't see race.
Oh, yeah,
which
yeah,
is
yeah,
like,
yeah.
The,
I still
where
see
it's
that.
Like, and this is, I'm colorblind. I'm a progressive. It was like the line that made you like go. It was like
uh-huh.
preceding like, but
yeah, right, blah, blah. Right. But my black friends,
yes,
you know,
exactly,
like, yeah.
Or like, but those people, or something, you know,
yeah,
like in some way,
offensive.
And right, exactly, something that was definitely like casually racist
right.
in some way. And it's not like, you know, now I feel like the goal for me looking at life is to not say, it's to not be able to say like my black friend, my Indian friend,
mm-hmm.
My this or that. It's just to be able to say like my friend. Oh, cool. My friend
yeah.
is from India.
Yeah.
Something like that. So I like that she is like these kind of things that you can tell, like things like hate and.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling differently about other people are learned, and
yeah.
that's not news. But our major conversation is how do we make sure our kids are not the ones othering people?
Yes.
So I did a little research.
Of course you did, and I can't wait. I did some research too.
Okay. Let's not try and step on my.
I have much to say.
Okay. Did you find something from Bright Horizons?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Okay. So I found a list of how to raise inclusive children.
Okay.
So you're welcome.
So a listicle.
A listicle. No, but I like this quote from this article, which I'll link as well. It says, to be inclusive, according to Merriam-Webster, is to be broad in orientation or scope. Too often, inclusiveness is described as something we should do to benefit others.
Uh-huh.
Being inclusive is more than a moral obligation, although this alone is an advantageous enough reason to practice it. When we are inclusive, we aren't divided. Instead, our world becomes enlarged. We gain relationships and experiences that enrich us. We recognize that we are all different and that those differences bring joy to living.
Oh, wow. That's
so I just
great.
Like that.
Yeah,
like,
I like that a lot.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
And so they list the four things. Be a role model. Teach compassion. Explain differences, don't ignore them, and use children's literature.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I love that, talk about them, don't ignore them. The first
mm-hmm.
time that we encountered a boy in a wheelchair, I like froze. Not because he was in a wheelchair, but because Norbeth was like, what is his tractor? I mean, she was like two. So
yes,
like,
yeah,
she was
yeah.
like, why does he have a tractor?
Right.
And I was like, I don't know. I feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And so, I mean, I tried. I like stumbled my way through, you
mm-hmm.
know. Some people have different ways that they get around. We use our legs. He has his wheelchair.
Right.
But I was also like, we have to leave this immediately because I felt like his parents are probably listening. I'm probably doing a horrible job.
Right. It was
bad.
On you.
Yeah.
Right.
He's young. And so he's probably feeling othered
right.
that she called it out. And so I was like, let's just not talk about it.
Right.
And there have been times that we see somebody in the store with differences and I'm like, Let me go down a different aisle because I just...
You don't want to deal with the pointing.
I don't want to deal with any... Yes.
Like, what is wrong with this person?
Yes.
Which, or not what, or like,
yeah,
why are
what
they...
what is different?
Because, yes, yeah, that was a... Not, to be clear, that's not me saying what is wrong, but like kids...
It was you. Hannah is not inclusive.
This is how I point at people in public.
Yeah, that's why we're having... This is an intervention.
Other people are going to burst through the door.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, kids are just wanting... They just have questions. It's not aggressive.
Yeah, no.
And I specifically wanted to talk about that point too, because... One of the things that I've discovered, there's a photographer who made it her mission to put out this book. And there's actually made one that's geared towards boys and one that's geared towards girls. And as we know, I love gender stereotype things.
Love it.
She and I will link these books too, because they are fantastic. One book is called The Heart of a Boy.
Yep.
And one book is called Strong is the New Pretty.
Oh, awesome.
And both of them, it's somewhat bigger books.
Yeah.
Just with photographs on photographs on photographs of all different kinds of boys in one.
That's
and
awesome.
She sections them out into different chapters where she talks about, like, what does it mean to these kids? And it's just like a photo of a boy living his best life.
Yep.
And then a quote from that boy. So it's about how do they handle emotions? How do they handle just a lot of different things?
It's like the Humans of New York for...
Yes,
like,
for children.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's all different ages, you know, below 18.
Yeah.
And we don't have the one for girls yet. My suggestion would be it's great for 4 and up. I don't know what the official suggestion
okay.
is.
Sure.
I believe, I could be wrong, I think I got it from my favorite bookstagrammer, mm-hmm. Here We Read. We is W-E-E.
Uh-huh.
I talk about her all the time. She puts out a great category of books, and I want to bring her up again later. The photographer made a point to put all kinds of kids in there.
Yeah.
So my best step that I've taken to avoid the public embarrassment of just a child being a child, like it shouldn't really be embarrassing, is to get ahead of it by exposure.
Yes.
Because when you're looking through books and you see, oh, this kid's in a wheelchair, this kid looks differently than me, this kid is praying in a mosque, this kid has like a different hairstyle than me, is wearing different clothes. You can describe those things in the comfort of your own home, casually.
Yep.
It doesn't strike you as embarrassing in public. So, and you know, our nature is to, like, you put out a kind of an energy of like, oh, and then your
this
kids.
Is taboo.
Yes, and your kids get that.
Yeah.
Well,
because they're savages and see your weakness.
Right.
And immediately
exactly. They sniff it out. And then I think that kind of like taboo is passed on to them.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, oh, they're in a wheelchair. But
right.
It's like, that kid knows they're in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
But like, if you have to address it for the first time in public, it will be awkward.
Yeah.
So I really like this book because, you know, we can flip. Milan loves to just flip through it.
Yeah.
Because it's a beautiful book.
Yeah.
The colors are vivid and the photographs are just, you know, boys doing all these different things. So of course he looks through it and he's like,
those are his
zip line. Yeah. And he's like, now he wants a zip line in the backyard. So if your kids want a zip line after reading the book, I take no fault credit for that. But I mean, that's my best advice and the best thing that I have done to avoid, because I typically don't run into all that yet.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard that was me knocking on wood. But because, you know, it's better to say, oh, look at this kid. He's doing this, because then you don't have to say, oh, this kid is different. You know, kids automatically recognize that. They'll ask their own questions and it can be natural and you don't have to shut it down.
Well, also, yeah, totally agree with that.
I assume it's the same way.
Yeah. Well, I had been, and Norbeth has been very into wheelchairs lately, which I thought was interesting to
naturally
figure out why. Like last night she and, Anna Blair were playing a game in which Norbeth was the queen and Anna Blair was like a wheelchair bound princess. And I was, as many people played last night, I'm sure. And I was like, should I like intervene and be like, yeah, we don't like to like pretend we're in wheelchairs. And I was like, you know what? No, like it should be like kind of normal.
Like she's saying you look ridiculous cause you're in a wheelchair.
No, she was feeling very tired of taking care of her, which is, you know, realistic,
relatable to caretaking
of any kind.
Yeah.
But I realized before her stupid YouTube videos, there's this Olay ad. It's like this extended Olay ad, and it's like a music video with this woman in a wheelchair singing to herself in the mirror, also in a wheelchair, like a better version of herself.
Yeah.
The commercial has literally nothing to do with her wheelchair at all. It is just about her skin in Olay. And the song sounds like this super poppy song that you would hear on the radio, but it's only about Olay. And Norbeth loves that commercial. Usually she wants to skip the ad, but then like she wheels herself out from behind her dressing table on both sides of the screen and her wheelchairs look different. And Norbeth's like, look how cool that wheelchair looks. Like she's very into it.
Right.
And I was like, you know, as much as I blame media for a lot of things,
right?
Like, good job to advertisers and companies who are.
Dove does this.
Yeah. Instead of just maybe trying to fill a quota, like we joke about, like our textbooks growing up, we're like, here's one black kid, one Asian kid, one wheelchair bound white kid.
Yeah.
You know, like they are actually putting people of other capabilities.
Right.
And not drawing attention to it. Like,
right.
it's just,
that's not
they
their
would fill
thing.
Them the like, exact same way.
That's just a part of them.
For sure. And so I was like, what is this wheelchair situation? And she's very into right now. But I realized, I think some of it is from that.
Yeah.
That she watches at least once a day and she loves it. She's like, come sit with me and watch this. It's I love this one.
Yeah.
She thinks it's a show. It's not.
That's hilarious. Kids don't get ads. That's the thing.
No, they don't.
Like, my kids rarely watch something with commercials or ads.
Right.
And like, they cannot comprehend that they have to sit through it.
Right.
I'm like, that is so interesting coming from a life which I know everyone listening is going to relate to, where like I knew I had like eight or so commercials to like run and get a snack and use
and
the bathroom before I had to get back in my seat or else I was going to miss something.
Well, because now
these
it's
savages
like,
are so spoiled.
They are, because Norman will be like, can you pause it? I have to go potty. And I'm like, pause it?
Right.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like I literally was thinking
that. Yes, I will, but.
Because like Blind Spot is on Hulu and I'm like, of a 90-second ad.
Yep.
And I said something
which
to
feels Pisan. So long.
It does feel so, at this point, that does feel so long. And I said something to Pisan, we're watching one episode, I'm like, do you think I can shower in 90 seconds? And he's like, we can pause it. I'm like, well, where's the chat? Like, that's not exciting.
Okay, Pisan.
Okay. I guess we can pause it.
But I also think, to your point, too, like, encouraging your home to be filled with toys that not everybody looks like them.
Which you do that quite a bit.
Well,
I like, because, you know, you like your kids have a lot of dolls that are not white.
Yes. Well, partially because I didn't grow up with any toy that didn't look like me. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine posted on Instagram, I don't know, like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe. It was after Christmas, and it was a picture of the clearance section at Toys R Us or Target or something, where like the only toys that were marked down were the black Cabbage Patch Kids or Barbies, because those were the ones left on the shelf because the majority of people shopping wanted white ones that are blonde, and like that's just what they wanted. She's also of color, so I really appreciated her perspective of like, there's no reason that these should be shopped differently than you would just choose any toy. And so like, if the girls are drawn to, you know, a non-white doll, I do not intervene to say like, oh, but don't you want this one? Because like, no, if they want that one, then that's the one that they want. And I encourage that.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that stems from my biggest regret is, I mean, it sounds super weird. I was only in kindergarten, but I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, where there is little to no diversity, at least where I grew up. I think there were two black kids in my school, and that was it. Like, there were no other races,
same.
Maybe an Asian child. But this little boy named Brandon in kindergarten asked me to marry him, and I said, black people can't marry white people, because that is what I, completely
racist.
What I thought. Yeah,
racist. Kindergartner.
And I still, like, I think about that a lot. Like, I want to be like, Brandon, I'm so sorry. I mean, I was a kindergartner,
right?
I was tiny. But I'm like, whatever that mindset was that made me think that, I want to make sure that my kids don't have that mindset. You know, obviously, again, I had no malicious intent. I generally,
I genuinely thought that as a 5-year-old. Yeah.
But that's also not great that I thought that as a 5-year-old.
Right.
And so I want to mitigate that as much as
I can. And I think that's really good for you to look back, because I think a lot of the conversation around social justice these days is like, well, like, I'm not being racist. That's just what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the point is, like, that you thought that. It's not like, oh, you were garbage for thinking that as a child.
Yeah.
At all. But it's to look at that and say, like, okay, so what should I do differently now? Like,
right. Well, and what about that mindset ultimately stayed with me longer, where I would,
I
would be one of those
people, what did you pull out of that? Yeah.
To say, I'm not a racist, but I would laugh at jokes.
Yes.
There are microaggressions that are like
microaggressions, exactly.
You know, all of those things that until very recently I would be such a stereotypical person of like, well, I'm not a racist, I have black friends, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
So anyway, I want to make sure that my girls have a different mindset than I did again, none of it was malicious intent.
No, of course not.
But yeah. Also,
yeah, I think that's something a lot of us can relate to.
Yeah, it was my mindset.
Right.
Until, the Trump era or
right.
before. I mean,
when a lot of us white women have had to take a closer look and really realize that the world might not be exactly the way we thought it looked for everyone.
For sure. And the things that we, if we take things from like a white approach, feel like, well, there are no problems with this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's dictating something completely different. It would be like saying, it would be believing Harvey Weinstein that there's nothing wrong with this of how
right.
we treat or touch women.
Exactly. Yeah. So that I think just explain differences. Don't ignore them. I love that point.
It's wonderful.
Be a role model and teach compassion is great advice too.
You're very good at this.
Oh, thank you. Use children's literature is like my other favorite one.
Yeah.
And that's the other one I wanted to highlight on my list.
Yep.
Listicle.
Okay. Listicle.
And that's where I was going to bring up Here We Read Again.
Yeah.
If you're looking for good books for your kids.
Yeah.
Go to her blog. She has like a great, you can kind of search by age or by subject matter.
Yeah.
Because again, exposure, like the more exposure that kids see, the more that they're going to see things as usual. And these things are on their level.
Yeah.
So like one thing we did this year, and I put this on our Instagram a couple weeks ago at the beginning of the school year, was we gifted our teachers, for the kids' teachers, copies of All Are Welcome Here.
Yes.
Which is a great book that my good friend Abby, who is also a teacher, gifted to our kids, I think maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And it's just this beautiful book about kids being welcomed to school. And each scene is like a different part of the school day.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, all the parents are walking them in and their families all look very different.
Oh, interesting.
And you can tell lots of different ethnicities and different types of families are represented here. They come into a classroom and everyone's sitting together at the lunch scene. There's all different types of bread.
Yeah.
And, different, like the ways different cultures make bread and rice is such a big thing.
Oh, that's cool that they carry it over to lunch.
Yeah, they carry it over. And it's just all throughout the day. It's talking about how you're welcome and you're safe here at school. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a great mindset for kids, because ultimately the reason why bullies are made, outside of like stuff that might be going on at home.
Yeah.
The reason why kids can be, and I want to use this term, this is not a clinical term, but like, almost like the casual bully.
Yeah.
Like not like the kid who like has like something going on at home that they need therapy.
But like more passively.
Right. More passively. Yeah. Like not, not seeking kids out to like beat them up because you have stuff going on at home.
But like excluders.
Right. And like excluders, people who just kind of say like, oh, you look different. You know, and there are a lot of stories I've read. Right now, like of kids who are othered because of the way they look and because of like something different they might take in their lunch. This isn't just like an old school problem. This is still now, is because like other kids are just like, oh, if you don't look like me, and if that's not something that we have addressed before as a family, like it's unfamiliar to kids.
Yeah.
And they're going to treat things unfamiliar with a healthy bit of skepticism, because I think that's that evolutionary flight or flight.
Totally.
As it's modified for our somewhat safe, again, air quotes, world that they exist in today.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to avoid that, just talk about this, talking about that will not make them feel unsafe in school.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
talking about like the kids in the wheelchair, the kids who look different than you, and reading about it in their books so that they have these heroines and heroes who look different than them and have different skin color. Like, we have Black Panther everything in this house.
Yes.
Not just because my kids are not white. Like, that's a bad example because my kids are not white.
No, I think it's a good example because you guys have Black Panther in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Norbeth now is exposed to Black Panther.
Right.
And loves it. And
right.
I mean, she is a like very white child with, big blue eyes and, whatever. Mm-hmm. I would think that she would gravitate more toward Elsa or whatever, but she's very into superheroes,
right?
And loves Black Panther. In fact, she thinks the Carolina Panthers, our football team, are Black Panthers. So
naturally,
but
she's my girl.
Yeah, it's still great exposure, regardless.
Right. So, just the book. Yeah, I liked that advice. I thought that was really good and a good reminder for me, because it can be so hard at the end of the day to want to sit down and like read more. Like it can be so hard to want to sit down and like do more parenting at the end of a long day. I think literally anyone who cares for a child in any fashion can relate to that. But even last night, this is not really related to, well, it is, like, you know, for my kids, kind of in another vein, I want them to include all others, regardless yes. of like age and stuff.
Yep.
So like Milan and Maya play great together. They're mm-hmm. 5 and 3 now. But I also, I can see a difference when like the other kids who are 5 years old or over, it seems like Milan kind of excludes Maya a little bit.
Yeah.
Siblings excluding each other is
nothing new.
Normal. Yeah. I understand that. But I also want them to be friends. Like I want them yeah. to understand that they stand up for each other because this innate standing up for people is something I want my kids to have.
Oh, that's really good.
Like
that's
I don't great. Want them to turn away if another kid is being othered.
Yes.
So some advice I read from a blogger a while back who also has kids similar in age was she was saying something about always trying to like describe the siblings to each other as friends.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, like you guys, and she was like, you know, I have always wanted my kids to play well and be good friends. Mm-hmm. And like my brothers and I are very good friends, right. like right now, like they were very close. And so I want my kids to have that too. So I always try and say, if there's like a disagreement, which I try and mostly let them solve those things on their own, because mm-hmm. it's not my problem.
'Cause you're tired.
But I'm like this, you know, Maya is your first friend. She's your yeah. best friend. You need to like, this is not how we treat our friends.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. Like in the vein of like friends and family together.
Yes.
Just because like, I don't want to see them saying, cause you know, even with kids, like their little dynamics, like mm-hmm. it'll be like, well, Norbeth doesn't want to play with me. She's not my friend.
Uh-huh.
Like yeah. I just, you know, it's, I feel like natural to exclude a little yes. bit.
It is. I mean, I do think that is true because all of us are self-centered, and so yeah. we want to play with people and be around people who right. will do what we want to right. serve ourselves. So whether they are the same capabilities or mm-hmm. race or ethnicity, we want people around us who will align with us
yes.
most closely.
Right.
Because we're all that way,
mm-hmm.
and our siblings usually are the ones who don't.
yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's my current goal with that. And I don't know, TBD, I'll hit you back in 18 years and we'll find out if I...
we'll see who's more inclusive.
Like 12 years.
That's great. Well, I did put it out on our Instagram because you guys usually have very good input.
Mm-hmm.
And our good friend Chris, the Batchmaker, says, I, all caps, drill it. Doesn't matter what you look like, your heart is what matters. In
oh,
a soft
good.
Way, in different ways, but it's always the exact same message. Like, does this hairstyle make me look beautiful? Yes, honey, but what's the most beautiful thing about you is your heart or the kind way you talk. So
I like that.
She's always, what I like about that is she's affirming the physical,
yes,
but also.
That's a perfect line to find.
It really is, because to me, I don't want to ignore the physical
beauty. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked
about
that.
Because that confidence is important too.
I felt that way even this weekend. I got dressed up to go to a wedding and I felt great, but I just really craved somebody to tell me
kind of
that
fawning
I was.
Over you in that
yes.
way. Yeah.
And I like the whole wedding. I was like, is anyone going to tell me I look good? You know, and
Mom,
I'm like,
Mom,
really? It did feel like that. And I was like, how old am I? Like, what?
Right.
Is that?
Right. Never ends.
But yeah. it's like, it did not feel just enough that I felt good.
Right. Totally.
Then she continues, but really modeling and broadening your circle. If your child embarrasses you and says something super loud at Target, pointing out someone else's differences, turn to the person and say, this can be a teaching moment, and actively say something to your child. I feel like parents shush their kids so they don't mm-hmm. get embarrassed or mm-hmm. feed it. And she's like, maybe I'm wrong, you know, but
I don't think you're wrong.
You know, I think again, that just echoes what we were saying of kids also pick up your cues
yes,
of how
your
to treat things.
Cues, yeah.
So if, we've talked about this with homelessness too, the community that I worked with, they would say like, just make eye contact. Like we're humans too. Don't overlook
oh, right,
me on the street.
Right.
But I feel like if we are encouraging our children not to look at or engage with mm-hmm. otherness mm-hmm. or differences because we don't want to have conversations that feel uncomfortable, they
right.
are going to start learning to ignore.
Right.
And again, it's...
And to other.
And to other.
Verb.
Yeah. And it's from... Again, I think that everyone has best interests of we don't want to hurt someone's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do, you know, any of those things. But it ends up creating this exclusion.
Right.
So Jenna says, our listener Jenna says, I believe it starts with the parents and how they role model the behavior to them, like we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We moved to a new area 2 years ago, and I've had the hardest time making friends and feeling included, even though I keep putting myself out there. When we first moved, I took my son to several parks hoping to find some kids to play with or a mom group to join. We had several experiences where a couple of kids would be playing together and her son would attempt to play with them, and the kids told him to go away or they didn't want to play with him, which I will beat those kids up.
I will punch them for sure.
Those kids.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah. The mom saw it every time, and one even said, you don't have to play with him if you don't want to. I've also had moms ignore when I attempt to make small talk, both when the moms were in groups and by themselves. In a similar way, I've been called a Yankee, been told I dress funny and make weird food, and have been told I need to lose my Yankee accent. Which, like, we didn't even touch about that. Sometimes it is not a racial difference at all. It is just,
right,
like, a regional difference.
Yeah,
or
all of those things, I think people can say in a microaggressive way, just like, haha, you need to do these things, no matter who you're trying to do. It's still othering people.
So she moved from Illinois to Texas, and she was told, a quote that she included was, she needed to lose her Yankee accent because you live in the South now, darling. She said that she sat in her car and cried after watching her son be purposely not included and be treated the same way. It has given her a whole new perspective on adult inclusion and how it starts with kids.
Yeah.
Now when I see a kid by himself, I encourage her son to play with them because nobody deserves to be lonely when surrounded by people.
Right.
And I was like, oh, Jenna.
Also, like, this mindset of you live in a certain place, you need to act that way is mostly bullshit.
Yeah, that sounds very Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, thank you.
They are probably armed with smallpox blankets, so don't accept anything they give you, Jenna.
Right, you don't need them anyway. Yeah. They will bring nothing but disease.
They probably like Peter Pan.
Yeah, sure.
But I just want to give people a hug in that way. And yeah. I do think, like, I don't know. I was appalled when I read that. I was heartbroken for Jenna. And I think
and her son.
Yeah. But we all do it to each other. And I think that
it starts with the adults. Like, our kids are modeling us.
And I think so much of it starts with our own security of, like, I was joking because we live in a cul-de-sac that is very tight-knit, and there's a neighboring cul-de-sac that also has families around our age, and Hannah was telling me that she was talking to them, and I was like, don't. Like, we need our friends. We are full.
Right,
like,
right.
But it is true that, like, if I were not secure about my friendship here or whatever and felt threatened by somebody else moving in and changing things, like, I don't know, that's my own problem. But
That is, I think, that evolutionary mindset, too, of, like, you know, originally, like, it wasn't a good idea to be, like, super trusting.
Yeah.
But then the funny thing is, as I started telling you more about my conversation with my new friend, you were like, oh, whoa, she sounds great. It's funny how those things are it's like innate, you know, you have what you have and you're comfortable with it, and like, expanding it is scary. I feel that way about my friends too. I've been so, throughout my life, I've been very protective of friendships.
Oh,
I don't like newness in them. I don't like new people coming in, you know, but anytime I met, like, jokingly, my friend Joya, who I've talked about quite a bit, she was telling me, I've got this new friend over the last year. She told me quite a bit. She's amazing. You'd love her. And, like, immediately I'm like, no, she's garbage.
Yeah, right. Don't like her and won't be.
Right. But I met her at a birthday party, and I'm like, I don't know. I just immediately loved her.
Yeah.
Like, she's great. And, you know, obviously, like, I was joking about, like, she is garbage. That is not true. But, I mean,
that is how Hannah regularly talks off mic
about
people.
About everyone.
I just want to expose that.
But I think that's just, like, that primal, like, I don't know it, so I'm afraid of it.
Well, I think, too, as you were saying that, I realized we put a lot of weight early on of kids learning the word friend, and everyone's a friend. But maybe that is also damaging, that we can only put people in two camps of friend or not friend.
Oh, true.
And maybe there's some gray area. You can be kind to people and include people, and that does not mean they have to be your friend. And maybe that's what, like, threatens it. Like, there's this other place for people that is, like, I don't know, you just treat them really well and you don't not like them and you don't exclude them. That doesn't mean that you also have to bring every single person.
You don't have to invite them everywhere all of a sudden.
It's okay.
Text them all the time.
Yeah, like, totally fine.
Yes.
You can see them places and say hi, and that's it.
That's such a good point. I think that's a great note to leave it on, because that's really good advice. I love it. That's
all
great.
Right. Well, again, we have these conversations literally all the time.
Yeah.
So send us your thoughts. We love to hear them. You gave us great input already. So we'll be eager to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. And we'll take a quick break and be right back. We're over time, but I got to talk about this good idea.
Oh, can't wait.
All right. We are over time. We got to go quick. I say that as the person who edits our episodes. I'm allowing this.
Okay, good, good.
So I have an inclusive, it sounded like a good idea at the time.
Oh, boy.
Buckle up.
I can't wait.
You thought it sounded like a good idea at the time to ask me to dog sit for you. I've been sitting on this one.
Oh, yeah.
To be fair, David thought.
Yeah.
David's the one who asked me. But, you know, I assume you two make decisions together, perhaps in error.
Yeah.
So your dog, who loves me,
likes to be included.
He wants to be included.
He never is.
So. Yes. Was the easiest thing ever to dog sit. So one night while you were gone, Hassan, who loves ice cream, was like just dying for ice cream. I'm going to just say this. I don't get the hype. Ice cream is mostly garbage. There is only one ice cream that is good. It is Ben and Jerry's. They make ice cream now with a core of brownie batter.
But how hard is that to dig out of that pint?
You don't dig it out. It's all at the top. You just take a full sweep out of the thing.
That is very
wrong. You just eat it out of the cup.
I will other you from
now on. You don't need a bowl. I don't get ice cream. It needs to have things in it, first of all. I just want to be like cold. I have to have brownie pieces or cookie pieces in it.
Ice cream is one of my food groups, so.
I don't get the hype. Anyway, Hassan is in your camp. Shocker.
Wow.
And there was one night where he was just like craving ice cream, and I don't know why, I had been in your house, I opened your freezer, naturally, to check things out.
And what did you think could be in there?
I don't know. Oh, I think it's because you typically hide cookies in there.
Oh, I do. Were there any in there?
I don't think there were any in there.
Ah, bummer.
Sadly for myself.
I usually do have cookies in there.
Yeah. So for some reason, I happen to have knowledge of your freezer. And I told him, I'm like, I know Caroline's got like, you had like 6 tubs of ice cream in your freezer.
Three.
Which
okay.
Perhaps you should address that on a different episode. And not even in your outdoor freezer. These were at ready reach inside.
Listen, man, I feel shamed right now.
Yes. Well, I just felt like we should bring it up.
Okay.
Anyway, so I told Hassan, I was like, I'll just go grab you one of those. Because I'm like, I'm not going to
the
freaking
Aries
Publix.
Care.
It's like after 6 p.m. I'm not leaving the house. So I'm like, I'll grab you some of Caroline's ice cream. So I went over and I grabbed the one I thought he would like. We don't have the same taste at all.
Did you get coffee or black deck cherry?
I got actually like a banana
split. Oh, I did have the banana split one. I
you
bought
did
it in error.
Have it previously.
I noticed that it was gone and I had gotten in an error thinking it was David's coffee one, like when I just grabbed it. And he was like, what is it? Like, what is this trash? Like, why are you bringing this into our house?
That's funny you say that because Hassan didn't like it. And I thought he would because he likes banana in his like a banana flavor. Typically.
Well, I do, too. And so I thought I would as well.
Yeah. You didn't like it either?
Hassan and I are the same.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
But did you get a chance to try it before it mysteriously disappeared?
Well, I was like, where did it go? And I just thought, I didn't bring it up to David because sometimes he gets hungry in the middle of the night and
right.
he uses peanut butter and jelly. And I
right.
was like, so maybe he couldn't tell me that he actually secretly loved it because it was just gone.
Oh my gosh, hilarious. Here you are thinking you're like, I'll give him his space to be himself.
As I do.
I stole your ice cream. I didn't, for some reason in the moment, I didn't text you saying, I'm taking this from your house.
Why didn't you return it either?
I don't know. It's actually still some of it's in my freezer. At this point, it's like too far gone. Like, I forgot to text you about it. Then I forgot to reimburse you or replace it. Then it just got to be too far gone.
So you felt like addressing it publicly.
I felt like I should address it publicly to not make a scene, is what I'm saying. So watch your back, people who ask me to do a favor for you. I go through your freezers.
I really appreciate your self-accountability here, so that's good.
I was trying to save my marriage by stealing from you.
Listen, and you do you. I'm cheaper than a therapist.
Yeah, exactly. I apologize for stealing your personal property and not telling you about it.
Also, Hassan, text me your preferred flavor. I will make sure that
make
I have
sure
it next time.
On hand next time you go out of town. I was just like, why go to Publix? I can shop Caroline's house.
Yeah.
So anyway, it sounded like a good idea at the time to ask your friends for help. That's the lesson. Install cameras.
Love it. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll talk to you soon.